Just how good is Carolina Panthers wide receiver Tyrone McMillan? And does the answer to that question even matter for fantasy football in 2026? Going to get to both of those questions today on Beyond the Box Score. Thank you for being here. Welcome in. If this is your first time here, please do consider subscribing. We've got lots of awesome content coming to get you ready for fantasy draft season, whether that's the, you know, deep dives 2 hours long here, getting into all the granular data and everything, or if you want more of the shorter form content, we've got player profiles out on Tyler Warren, Harold Fannin Jr., Quinshon Judkins, Martin Hampton, lots of interesting players heading into year two of their career, and just some of the more polarizing situations from around the league. And of course, Tyrone McMillan, I think, belongs firmly on that list because it was a really interesting year one. I don't know what to expect in year two. I don't know how much better it can be statistically, given some of the limitations of his offensive environment with Bryce Young, with maybe Jalen Coker taking on a larger role for the Panthers. So we're going to get into all that today. I'm going to start by digging into the 2025 data for McMillan. So just compared to the rest of the league, where did he stack up? He was wide receiver 10 in target share. That's great. 25%. That's really high for a rookie. I'll give you some context on that later, comparing his rookie season to some of the other historical data that we have. 43% of the air yards accounted for by this rookie is a massive number. Jackson Smith and Jigba up at 50% is the only other receiver with a rate above 40. So absolutely dominating the receiving volume for this team. And yet he comes in at wide receiver 20 in fantasy points per game. So what's up with that? Is that some sort of indictment on Tyrone McMillan? I don't think so. I think he was really, really good. But again, like the volume, the receiving, the role couldn't have been much better. Wide receiver 10 in target share, 2 in air yardage share, wide receiver 15 in red zone targets, 11 in end zone targets, but he finishes as wide receiver 20 in fantasy points per game. And I think it's pretty clear why we're seeing such a limited ceiling, not a lot of big upside types of games. I think it has a lot to do with Bryce Young and this passing attack. And what we've seen from Carolina's passing attack is the coaches don't want to lean on it if they can avoid that. So the stats I have on that I think are interesting, you'll see here I've got the percentage of plays that these offenses spent trailing or playing with a lead. And the Panthers last year were playing from behind on a higher percentage of their offensive plays than the Cleveland Browns, which is crazy, right? They were only playing with a lead on 25% of their offensive plays. So this is a setup for a team that you'd expect to lean into the passing game more, right? You're playing from behind, you pass more. Among those teams that were, you know, in the bottom five, which is where the Panthers found themselves, bottom six, you know, under 30% of the time playing with a lead, there were six teams. Only the Commanders finished with fewer dropbacks than the Panthers. If you look at like pass rate over expectation on any given play, the Panthers were very low in that stat as well. They come in 26th in the league in passing yards, just barely over 3,000 passing yards for the Panthers. They like to play slow. They like to lean on the ground game. And I think that's probably what we're going to see again in 2026, because it would be unexpected for them to have a worse outcome than last year in terms of game script, playing from behind or playing with a lead. Maybe they won't be able to run as effectively. Maybe, you know, the loss of Rigadoudle, Cade Mays at center, maybe some of that will come into play here, and they'll have to lean on the pass game more if they want to try to have successful offense. They just gave money to Jalen Coker. They obviously have a really, really talented receiver in Tyrone McMillan as their number one, and they drafted Chris Brazel. Like, maybe they decide to lean more into the passing game, but that's a lot of maybes. It's a lot of speculation. What we know is that last year, McMillan completely dominated the receiving market shares on a team that was playing from behind all the time, and it still wasn't very good for fantasy, wide receiver 20. So I've got to, you know, it's tough to get feeling all that optimistic that it's going to be better. That's the bearish case for McMillan's fantasy outlook. The bullish case is he's really, really good. And in year two, he could just take another step forward. And so, you know, getting him basically drafted around that wide receiver 20 price tag, which is basically where he finished last year, feels like it's only upside, right? It could only get better. And I think that maybe there's some merit to that. So let's dig into my first question I posed at the top of the video. How good is McMillan? Very good, I think, is the simple answer, but I'll give you some context. So he is one of 21 receivers to top 1,000 yards as a rookie dating back to 2000, one of 21 rookie receivers with more than 1,000 yards. He's one of just 11 with a target share above 25%, and he's one of just 5 that was a top 10 pick and hit those parameters. So it's Garrett Wilson, Tedrick McMillan, Andre Johnson, Drake London, Malik Nabers, draft pedigree, so potentially elite types of talents that then came in as rookies and immediately put up, you know, pretty massive target shares for a rookie. It's pretty rare to do it. How did that group do in year two? Not great. Not really much improvement for fantasy purposes, which probably is forewarning, I think, here for McMillan. So Andre Johnson, even with a 31% target share in year two, averages 14.3 fantasy points per game, which is really good. And Andre Johnson was really good, for those of you who don't remember. But still, like, that's not... That would be a win where McMillan is drafted. It wouldn't be a huge win, 14.3 PPR points per game. Garrett Wilson in year two, 30% target share, 168 targets, 12.5 PPR points per game. Drake London's target share actually fell a little bit in year two, only averaged 10.9 PPR points per game. And then obviously Malik Nabers dealt with the injury, so he's not really somebody we can use in this exercise. So all the volume stuff, really unprecedented for a rookie. And by and large, I think that that group has ended up proving that the rookie year was no fluke. Those top 10 picks that then went on to be massive target share type players right away just proved to be really, really good. And I think that's what we'll see from McMillan. I think he's going to continue to get a really high target share. His plays were the most effective plays the Panthers had last year, and it really wasn't even close. They had a 51% success rate when throwing to McMillan. On all other plays, their success rate was 45%. They averaged 0.24 EPA per play when throwing to McMillan. On all other plays, it was a negative 0.07. So when throwing to McMillan, it was like a good play, like a top 10 offense type of a play. When not throwing to McMillan, it's like, this is one of the worst offenses in the league. All their other options weren't that good, except for one, Jalen Coker. This is going to surprise nobody here who's not their first time here at Beyond the Box Score. We love Jalen Coker here. Highest passer rating of all qualified receivers in 2025 when targeted as the first read. So that's a really specific stat. But that's kind of what we have to do with Coker, because he's an undrafted player who's had to work his way onto the field. He's also dealt with some injuries, so the sample sizes are quite small. But when the offense has focused on Coker, the returns have been extremely good. So I gave you that EPA per play and success rate stat. For McMillan, there's one part of the Panthers offense that's been clearly better than even throwing to McMillan, that's throwing to Coker. There's a 65% success rate when targeting Coker over the past two seasons. Only Puka Nacua has a higher rate. McMillan's rate was 51%, 65% for Coker. Here's another really, really specific stat. In 2024, Jalen Coker led the wide receiver position in yards per catchable target versus man coverage. He is a legitimate separator at the wide receiver position. He can create with the ball in his hands. We saw it all culminate into the big performance in the playoffs for Coker, and then he gets paid. Absolutely love that for him. And at the end of the season, Coker missed the first month or so and then had a bit of a extended ramp-up period before a week 14 bye for the Panthers. And then he gets on the field in week 15, and we see Coker, you know, really stepping up as a legitimate threat in this offense. Not just, wow, he's so good on a per target basis, but like actually putting numbers on the board. And so the 5-game sample, including the playoffs from week 15 on, still a high first read target rate for Tedrick McMillan, 28.4%. So his rate didn't drop that much. It was more so that Coker just really started producing. 26% first read target rate for Coker. So that's way higher than anything that we've saw in Carolina before in terms of ancillary pieces behind T-Mac. He basically took all of Hunter Renfro's role, and as well as a lot of the targets that were going to Xavier Leggett. It just all went to Coker. And then he got a little bit from T-Mac, and then he outproduced them just straight up over that 5-game sample size. It was 71.4 fantasy points for Coker compared to 49.9 for McMillan and 61 expected fantasy points, according to the fantasy points data's model for Coker, compared to 51.5 for McMillan. I don't want to overreact to that. Before that, T-Mac had a 28.5% first read target rate. So before week 14, it was 28.4% during this small sample size with Coker. His yardage market share was 31.4% from weeks 1 through 14. And then in this five-game sample size with Coker, it was 28%, which is still really strong. So like, he gave a little bit of the work to Coker, but McMillan was still getting his for the most part. And I think over a larger sample size, the addition of Coker in the offense, I don't think necessarily is something that's going to take away volume for McMillan, if I had to guess. I think we're just going to see it be concentrated on those two. It's just a matter of, will they pass enough for it to even matter? Can we get, you know, one, let alone two highly productive fantasy receivers in this offense? So any drop in volume is significant for McMillan. So hopefully it's not much, but it might be. Coker's really good. It does seem unlikely to me, though, that a top 10 pick is going to lose out to Coker, even though we love Coker to death here at Beyond the Box Score. They're going to be on me in the comments for this sacrilege. Okay, so I want to just give you a few more stats that I found when digging into the McMillan rookie season that I just think are really cool. Here's one that I found when looking at, I've been doing explosive play cut-ups of every receiver from last year that had like a significant amount of explosive plays. And so McMillan was wide receiver 9 in the total number of plays that gained 20 or more yards. And he was wide receiver 3 in the percentage of offenses total gains of 20 or more yards accounted for by a single player, behind only Jackson Smith-Njigba and Puka Nacua. And so what I've got here is, out of nearly 2,000 rookie receiver seasons dating back to 2000, the only players who have accounted for a higher percentage of a team's receiving first downs than McMillan. I started really digging into the team shares among these rookies and just realizing how unprecedented McMillan's rookie season was. Anquan Boldin and Andre Johnson were the only two that had a higher percentage of the team's receiving first downs than McMillan. 32.4% was the rate for McMillan, which tied with rookie season Puka Nacua. And I bring that up because I think first downs are really important. And McMillan is like up there with some of the absolute best receivers in the league last year, not even just on a percentage basis, but total first downs produced as a freaking rookie with, you know, the Bryce Young and the Panthers. I think that's so impressive. And so I'll point you to this episode I just did with Ryan Heath, this cheat codes for drafting wide receivers. It says it's draft better fantasy football teams, predictive data, deep dive at wide receiver with Ryan Heath. We just did a 4-part series where we looked at every position and what's mattered for predicting future fantasy scoring. And first downs have been one of the most important stats at wide receiver in terms of predicting future scoring. And so, yeah, I think it's really bullish that McMillan was able to produce, even though he was like clearly the place that these targets were going, right? Like, it's so obvious that the offense is going to run through him, and defenses are, you know, going to key on that. And still, he was able to consistently produce first downs throughout the year. And I think that's because he's really good. He's really good as a route winner. I think the offensive design was pretty good for him, with a lot of horizontally breaking routes that he can win on. He's good at the catch point, although he did let a few of those opportunities through his hands as a rookie. I think that's something he can improve on. He definitely has the frame for and the ball skills for. And then he's deceivingly good after the catch, like way better than people realize, I think, after the catch. In terms of how it could all add up, I wanted to give you this Andre Johnson comp because I think it's really fun. It's just him and Anquan Boldin that were as good at producing first downs on a team market share basis as McMillan as a rookie. And so I think it's fun because Andre Johnson wins in some similar ways down the field, being able to create a little after the catch, but mostly just crushing down the field and being able to soak up tons of targets, even though the defense knows that it's coming. But what I wanted to point out is actually maybe a bearish signal here, is that Andre Johnson didn't really start producing these big fantasy seasons really until year 5. Year 4 was good, 249 PPR points, nearly 16 PPR points per game. But it wasn't until year five, year six, that we start seeing the 19, 20 points per game marks, even though, you know, 28% target share as a rookie, that's higher than McMillan, 31% in year two, 31% in year four. You know, I honestly think it's wildly high expectations to think that McMillan could be as good as Andre Johnson, you know? I think that's borne out in the massive, you know, 31% target shares so early in his career is insane. And even he wasn't able to really produce in a big way for fantasy until later in his career. So I think that comparison feels apt because they win in similar ways. And even with better volume than McMillan, even better volume than McMillan was getting, Andre Johnson, who I think is a better player, wasn't that productive for fantasy. I do think, though, that McMillan still could be a good pick for fantasy. I think he's rock solid. I think he's likely to stay out there and play through injuries, play the full season about as likely as any player, young guy, super, you know, super dependable athlete and everything. I think he's just going to be out there and the offense is going to be built around him. So the floor feels high. I don't think there's going to be a lot of games that really disappoints you. And I think that he could get even better in year two than he was in year one. And again, he was wide receiver 20 in year one, even though the offense didn't produce much. So my bet wouldn't necessarily be on the offense producing more at large, but more so that McMillan could just be better for a number of reasons. So he did an interview with Matt Harmon of Yahoo Fantasy, and I just loved his answers to all of Matt's specific questions. Matt, of course, like studies the wide receiver position and knows intimately like all of these players because he's watching all their routes. And so he knows where they win. He knows where maybe they lost. And he was able to like ask McMillan some really good questions about his game and how he can improve. And I just really, really liked everything that McMillan said. It's clear that he's self-aware and very focused on improving things, specifically at the catch point. That was his main thing, was he knows he has to get stronger. And what we've heard out of Carolina this offseason is that that's happening. Everything we hear out of Carolina's building is that he's extremely focused and dialed in, leads by example type, like detail-oriented. All of that feels good. And then anecdotally, I think there's two reasons to believe that it could be better in year two than year one. The first being simply that the volume alone makes it likely that he'll score more. So what I have here is just a list of any receiver that had at least a 25% target share with an average depth of target that was higher than 11 yards. And so that's, I think, dating back to like it's got Andre Johnson on here, 2009. So it dates back about 20, 25 years that I have. Here's Marvin Harrison Sr. in 2006. I don't have average depth of target. At a certain point, the average depth of target cuts off. I think it's probably around 2005 looking at this. Yeah, that looks about right. So about 20 years of data and 91 receivers. And McMillan is 84th in fantasy points per game among this group. And the point being that getting lots of targets, it's a very simple point, getting lots of targets and getting those targets down the field typically is a good thing. It can result in really big fantasy production. Not always. Sometimes you're going to get some really inconsistent week-to-week performances from this type of a profile. Sometimes you're going to get just low catch rates and it's going to be frustrating. And maybe that will be the case with McMillan. But I think if you look at this list, most of the players who are below him were like at the very end of their career. For a young player to get this type of volume is really rare. And I think just by having this formula, this fantasy-friendly formula, where you're getting a really high number of targets and getting a lot of those down the field, he could be a lot better. And then the other anecdotal reason is, and this is maybe a stretch because I wasn't super high on this player's profile, but Chris Brazel, the rookie that Carolina took, the team seems to be very high on as an X receiver. And so what that would mean is that he can line up on the outside more and do more of the field stretching stuff that McMillan was forced to do in year one. And if that's the case, then we could see McMillan moved around the formation more. And that could be a boost for a number of reasons. And I've got some stats that back that up. So he was considerably more effective from the slot in terms of per route, first downs and yards produced, fantasy points produced. He was better from the slot than playing on the outside. He was wide receiver 4 in the whole league among qualified players in yards per target on throws that came over the middle of the field. And I think that makes sense. I think that's an area where his skill set will translate really well. And that would that put him behind only Puka Nacua, Jackson Smith and Jigba, and Jameson Williams. And then if you look at yards after the catch per reception on those middle field targets, only Nico Collins and Puka Nacua averaged more than Tedder McMillan. And I think if you look at this list, like here's the top 10, it's Nico, Puka, and then T-Mac. It's a really good list. It's really, really good players who know how to get open in the right parts of the field and set themselves up to create after the catch. Number four is Amon-Ra St. Brown. Number five is Jameson Williams. Six is Justin Jefferson. Seven is Ja'Marr Chase. Eight is Emeka Ebuka. Nine is Harold Fannin Jr. And 10 is Jackson Smith and Jigba in terms of yards after the catch per reception on middle of the field targets. That's a really specific stat. But I think if this Chris Brazel stuff is real, or if Xavier Leggett is able to play better, either way, if somebody with Brad Idzik talking specifically about wanting to get Tedder McMillan freed up from always having to play that X receiver role, if somebody is filling that role more and McMillan is moving around more, I think that we're going to see him get softer looks. I think the fact that he was able to do what he did last year when having to just go out and win in the hardest way for a wide receiver really says a lot. And I think that it could get better just based off of these reasons. It could get better, even if I do think ultimately it's probably not going to result in a huge fantasy season in year two. And we've got a number of reasons to believe that, whether it's Bryce Young, the Carolina Panthers, you know, win totals and stuff, just not expected to be a good or high scoring offense. And then also history shows us that, you know, you're better off betting on receivers later into the career, outside of a few unique, you know, a few unique situations. Like I think Luther Burden is set up really, really well with the Chicago Bears and an offense that could be really, really productive. So maybe he's an exception to the rule in terms of year two receivers. But by and large, that's not been the case, because often these receivers, especially the ones who are drafted in the top 10, get stuck on these Andre Johnson, Houston Texans type of teams. You know, we saw it last year with a number of the wide receiver, the year two wide receivers, where they just didn't live up to the promise from year one. And I think that we might be looking at something similar here. I think if you're looking at the year two receivers, McMillan stands out pretty clearly as the most likely to kind of fit into that not quite yet group, you know, like probably more like the when he's 25, 26, 27, will we start to see some of these massive seasons where the skill set really culminates into something big. So here's where I have McMillan ranked for fantasy purposes currently is wide receiver 20, which is as high as I feel like I can rank him. I've got both Luther Burden and Emeka Ebuka above him. And honestly, I feel like I'm going to push Mike Evans and Terry McLaurin ahead of him. And Jalen Waddle. I currently have them behind McMillan, but after my conversation with Ryan Heath today, I think it makes a lot of sense that that they have a lot more paths to some big upside type of outcomes than McMillan. So really it comes down to what you want. If you feel like your first couple of picks offer you a ton of upside and you feel really good about that, then maybe you're comfortable just locking McMillan in as your wide receiver too. I can't blame you, but if you're just, you know, trying to win your league, I don't know if he's your best bet in the range where he gets drafted. Because like I said, I've tried to rank him very high because I think he's a really good player and I don't want to be low on him. And still, I'm coming in kind of considerably lower than consensus here, right? Like he's often being ranked up in this top 12, top 15-ish range at wide receiver. And that is, it's tough for me to get there, given the number of circumstantial things that I think are likely to limit this player in terms of how high he could fly. I think for as talented as he is and as excited about him as I am long-term, this year might be another relatively disappointing season. So it wasn't a disappointing season. His rookie season was awesome. It's just like, we want more. We see the big plays. We see the big games occasionally. We know how good this guy can be. We see the right stats. We see that he's top five in some of them and stuff, and we know how good it could be, but I think we're going to have to be patient. So there's Tedder McMillan. Leave me comments if you think I'm wrong. Let me know where you're at with McMillan for sure. I appreciate all of y'all showing up in the comments and watching the videos. I'll see you at the next.